God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 6th day of July, 2008, and you are listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Special music today from Brenda Waterloo, and then the message from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, The Price of Liberty. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Celebrating our independence, I'd like to preach on we are free. We are free. Look at verse 1. The Bible says here, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Go to verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And then back up to chapter 2, verse 4. And the Bible says this. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for the reading of your word. Lord, Paul in the book of Galatians, Lord, resounds the theme of liberty, our freedom that we found in you. And today, Lord, as Brother Lynn already so clearly presented, Lord, that our nation was founded on Christian principles. And Lord, those principles have been our guiding post for so many years. Lord, we realize also not just our freedom here in America, but our freedom spiritually that has been given to us by you as well. We thank you for both, Lord. We praise you for both today. May you be lifted up, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know if you saw this week, but it was an exciting time. I know I got to watch a little bit of news, I think, yesterday or Friday. I can't remember. I think it was yesterday. But did you see those hostages freed in Colombia? And it was like 6 to 10 years some of them had been there. And I just kind of caught the pictures. I saw the video. And once again, they're getting on the helicopter and thinking they're just being transported somewhere else. And couldn't you imagine, though? I mean, can you really imagine as you're sitting there and all of a sudden as you're up in the air and you're flying away, they say, hey, we want to let you know you're free. And can you imagine just the shock on your face? What do you mean you're free? Yeah, this is actually a rescue mission. I mean, I get goosebumps just thinking about that, of thinking, wow, what an amazing thing. It reminds me of a story. Matter of fact, a gentleman by the name of Hampton Sides wrote a book called Ghost Soldiers. And he wrote a story of an amazing rescue in the Philippines in World War II. Back in 1945, there was 513 American prisoners and British prisoners of war. They were on the island, and 121 Army Rangers were chosen. And they prepared the mission. What a daring rescue mission. They got to the camp, POW camp, and as they got there, they literally delivered all 513, actually all but two. 511 men were rescued that day. And the two that actually didn't make it were because of medical reasons. Only two Army Rangers were lost in the rescue mission out of 121. One of the most brave and amazing rescues. If you get a chance to read the book, you probably want to do that as it goes into great detail. But a section out of that caught my attention. It says as they got there, there was one particular prisoner. His name was Bert Bank. He refused to budge. Even as a ranger walked right up to him and held out his hand and said, come on, it's time to go. We're here to save you. Run for the gate. Bank still would not move. The ranger looked into his eyes and saw they were vacant, registering nothing. What's wrong with you, he asked. Don't you want to be free? A smile formed on Bank's lips as the meaning of the words became clear, and he reached up to the outstretched hand of the ranger. The ranger searched all the barracks for additional prisoners and shouted, the Americans are leaving. Is there anybody here? Nobody answered, and they left. About that time, as everybody left, one man came walking in. His name was Edwin Rose. He was cleaning the latrines. And as he came walking in, he failed to notice that everybody was gone, laid down in his bunk, and went to sleep. How he missed the shooting, the explosions, was mind-boggling to them until they found out Edwin Rose was deaf. He laid there, fell asleep, woke up several hours later, got up, looked around, noticed everybody was gone, the gates were open, and he took off running. Even Edwin Rose finally was rescued when he finally woke up and realized liberation had come. And I thought about that and I said, you know what, don't we want to be free? The answer would be, well, of course we want to be free. That maybe sometimes we need to get to a point of just kind of waking up and realizing that, guess what, liberation has already come. Not only for our nation, but spiritually. Spiritually, what a great time to be reminded that not only did God intervene for us to live in this wonderful land of America, but he intervened in a greater way spiritually. And I think sometimes we forget about that. And I think sometimes we take for granted the opportunity. And after all, who would want to live in bondage? Can you imagine anybody in the airplane just a couple days ago being flown out of Colombia into a rescue? And as they were on the plane and they're saying, hey, you're free, you're free. And they all began excited. Could you imagine any one of them saying, wait a minute, can I go back? I mean, I couldn't even imagine that statement. What do you mean you want to go back? Yeah, hey, I forgot my toothbrush. You know, hey, we'll buy you a new one. Yeah, I know, but I got a real nice comb that I've got there. Yeah, we'll get you 100 combs if you want. Yeah, I know, but I got a great notepad that I want to use. You'd say, preacher, that's silly. Well, of course it's silly. Why would you go back into bondage when you've been set free? Can you imagine any of the prisoners of war saying, hey, I'd rather go back to the POW camp. I'd rather go back and stay. I mean, we've been here for several years now. We've just kind of gotten accustomed to it. Well, of course not. And yet sometimes I believe as Christians, we've been given the greatest liberty on the face of the earth. Not just for living in America, but the fact that spiritually, hey, we are free. We've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why would anybody want to go back into bondage? I can't even understand it. We need to live in freedom today. I want to remind you of some important facts of freedom. Look at Galatians 5:1, if you would. The Bible says here, as we read, the word was used several times, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." That liberty is very clear. It means freedom. And I want to take a look here real quick at this price of liberty. I think sometimes we forget about it. We forget about the price that was paid. If you compare it to America, we forget about the founding fathers. And Brother Lynn had read, and I want to share a couple things along the same line. But our founding fathers understood the price that had to be paid. Interesting enough, John Hancock wrote this, talking about the men that signed the Declaration of Independence. By the way, they were known as the signers. These signers, John Hancock said this about them. He said, "Here are fortunes, abilities, learning, eloquence, acuteness equal to any I ever met in my life." He said, "These are the sharpest, richest, most genuine men I'd ever met in my life. The brain power, the finances, the ability sitting in this room of the men that signed the Declaration of Independence was astounding. And yet almost every single one of those men died a pauper. They died poor because they invested every ounce. They lost their families. They fled for their lives. Stories have been written how they lost their homes. Matter of fact, the British targeted their homes, targeted their industry, because their name was written down saying, 'Hey, I stand with America.' But inside, they knew what was coming. Not one man signed his name in oblivion saying, 'Hey, this is going to be great. You know, this will just be fun.' Everyone knew that when I signed my name, I'd become a target. And they said, 'But it's worth it.'" And they literally paid the price for you and I to be here today to worship God. Are you aware of that? May we never forget. May we appreciate what they have done. And then I thought, besides that appreciation that sometimes get lost in our textbooks, get lost in our life, that somebody has shed their blood so that I might be free. Besides that, we forget often, not only about that, but what Christ has done for us. We know about the cross. We've heard about it. I've done some reading and a little bit of research, and I recalled in my mind an article I'd read years and years ago. So I went to look it up again and was able to find at least one of them. And I want to give you an account, because I think the price that is paid even today of our men in Iraq and Afghanistan and Korea and all around the world that are laying their lifeline. And by the way, I just want to remind you of that. There are young men and older men that are dying every single year so you and I can have freedom. Are you aware of that? I tell you what, it'd be disgraceful for us to ever forget that. I'll just be honest with you. So you and I go to work and enjoy our air conditioning, our wonderful food, and all that we have and all the pleasures of life. Why, they're out there and willingly out there, many of them signing up saying, "I'll go over in 110 degrees. I'll sit there. I'll march. I'll walk. I'll guard." Why? So that their families can have freedom. Never, never forget it. In the same way, may we never forget what Christ has done. May we never forget what Christ has done for us. I looked up, and there's several people have done some great articles along this line. This one Dr. Bruce wrote, and most people as you look at the death of Jesus Christ and start talking about it, most of us take a look at just kind of the outward aspect of it. But several physicians have gotten together, and they've written to explain this death that Christ died, and this liberty, and the cost. And they've written out what that is. I'd like to read some excerpts from you. So if you just follow along, bear with me this morning. Don't normally read this, but I thought it would help us to really appreciate more what Jesus Christ went through. The doctor wrote this: "In the early morning, battered and bruised, dehydrated, and worn out from a sleepless night, Jesus was taken across Jerusalem to the Praetorium of the Fortress Antonia, the seat of government for the Procurator of Judea," which of course you know is Pontius Pilate. Of course, he went before Herod then, and of course Pilate then ordered Barabbas to be set free, and later on Jesus to be crucified. In that, preparations for Jesus' scourging were carried out at Caesar's orders. The prisoner was stripped of his clothing, his hands tied to a post above his head. The Roman legionnaire stepped forward with a flagrum, or flagellum, in his hand. This was a short whip. It consisted of several heavy leather thongs with two small balls of lead attached near the ends of each. The heavy whip was brought down with full force again and again across the shoulders and back and legs. At first, the weighted thongs would just cut through the skin only. Then, as the blows continued, they cut deeper, deeper into the tissue, producing first an oozing of blood from the capillaries and veins of the skin, and finally, spurting arterial bleeding from the vessels and the underlying muscles. The small balls of lead first produced large, deep bruises that were broken open by subsequent blows. Finally, the skin of the back was hanging in long ribbons, and the entire area was an unrecognizable mass of torn, bleeding tissue. When it was determined by the centurion in charge that the prisoner was near death, The beating was finally stopped, but it didn't stop there. Next began the mocking. A half-fainting Jesus was then untied and allowed to slump to the stone pavement, wet. The pavement was of his own blood. The Roman soldiers saw a great joke in this provincial Jew claiming to be a king. They threw a robe across the soldiers, placed a stick in his hand for a scepter. They still needed a crown to make their travesty complete. Small, flexible branches covered with long thorns, commonly used for kindling fires in the charcoal in the courtyard, were plaited into the shape of a crude crown. The crown was pressed into his scalp, and again, there was copious bleeding as the thorns pierced the very vascular tissue. After mocking him and striking him across the face, the soldiers took the stick from his hand and struck him across the head, driving the thorns deeper into his scalp. The robe was then returned, of course, onto his body, the clots of blood and serum in the rooms, and then at its removal, it would rip in excruciating pain. Then became the walk to Golgotha. Dehydrated, worn out, bleeding, he began to walk. The weight, literally, of the cross upon his muscles made him collapse. He stumbled and fell. The rough wood of the beam gouged into lacerated skin and muscles of the shoulders. He tried to rise, but human muscles had been pushed beyond their endurance. It was then, and only then, the centurion, anxious to proceed with the crucifixion, selected a stalwart North African onlooker, you know him as Simon of Cyrene, to carry the cross. Jesus falls still bleeding and sweating the cold, clammy sweat of shock. The 650-yard journey from the fortress Antonia to Golgotha was finally completed. The prisoner was again stripped of his clothing, except for a loincloth, which was allowed by the Jews. And then the crucifixion began. That was the price for you and I to go to heaven. Shame on us if we ever forget that. There's no such thing as free. Somebody pays a price. You and I enjoy it. We live in it. But somebody pays a price. Today, we celebrate not just the freedom of our nation, but as Christians, more importantly, we celebrate the freedom that Christ gave us. Galatians chapter 5, he says this, stand fast in liberty because of what he has done for us. May I challenge you and I to stand. We must stand for our liberties. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Take a look at it again, if you would. Galatians 2, 4. The Bible says that because of false brethren brought in unawares, who come in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. You know, there's a direct parallel to this in our land today. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I live here. I'm excited about it. I appreciate our freedoms. But can I remind you that there are nations that hate our guts? There are nations right now planning in every possible way the demise of America. North Korea, Iran, China, Russia. Oh, do not be deceived, folks. We are not talking about friends here. We are talking about foes. Unless you think they have in their mind that they just want peace with us, and I can include in there the Muslim nations, there is no peace. They have no aspirations at all to be friends with America. Their only thought process is this, how can they destroy us? As we talk right now, we know from intelligence reports, there are terrorist cells in America right now. We know that the demise of our economy, the demise of our freedom is at stake. And the world would just love it. Communism would love it. Terrorism, Muslims would love it if they could just come in and destroy America. And they plot every single day. We have men and women, literally every single minute of the day, through satellites and intelligence, that are working around the clock to protect the freedom that we have. Are you aware of that? As you and I get up every day, and as we just enjoy, and once again, I'm not against that, we enjoy our jobs, we enjoy our meals, we enjoy our work, we enjoy our church, and yet we don't think about that there are people even dying right now. There are people in the intelligence realm that are spies in other countries living their full life just to get information to protect this land. Why? Because folks, once you get liberty, you got to keep liberty. And I want you to understand there's a price to be paid for liberty, and there's a price to be paid to keep liberty. And the price has been paid. And you and I need to pursue it. That's why he said, hey, I've got it for you. I've given it for you. All I want you to do is this. Stand fast in your liberty. Folks, we need to come to a place and say, hey, I am saved. I've accepted Christ. God did it. I'm going to keep living free. What does that mean? There's many verses on it. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, probably my favorite, says there this: wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. Galatians 2:4, as we read, said there are those who are seeking to remove our liberty. They want to strip us of any freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And if you just watch the laws that are being made right now, the decisions that are being made, hey, it is not a friendly world to Christianity today. They are doing everything they can to take away our freedoms, and it will not get better. It will not get better. And I tell you, as this nation continues to remove our Christian freedoms, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm going to tell you what we plan on doing. We plan to stand fast. We just plan to stand. What do you mean stand fast? Stand firm. Don't move from where we are. Take this book, stand on this book, and say, hey, I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the world does. I stand here. How do we do that? Same way Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did it. You remember that story back in Daniel chapter 3, don't you? Beautiful story. Now, if you've not been to Sunday school, you may have forgotten. But a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar said, I got me a pretty good plan. They build me this giant statue, cover it with gold. We're going to put it out and everybody's going to bow down. They brought the whole nation, all the dignitaries together. They brought everybody together. I mean, thousands upon thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people came. And as they all stood there, here's this gigantic statue that's there. And it's played the harp and the dulcimer. And it goes down through the whole listing and the music played. Everybody bowed down. And here's three guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, believers. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe there were other believers there that day, but they didn't have the courage to stand. And they were there, and as they blew the trumpet, and they did the dulcimer, and they did the harps, and everybody down, I'm telling you something, when you have 100,000 people bowing, and three are standing up, it's easy to pick them out. Of course, I always wanted to know who was speaking. Yeah. You ever notice, you know, you say, hey, guess what? We were praying at dinner, and Johnny, he had his eyes open. Well, how'd you know that? Yeah, you knew it because you had your eyes open. You know, the same thing here. You know, everybody's supposed to be bowing and looking at the statue and three guys just standing there. You know, and I don't think they made a sound. They didn't want any attention, folks. It wasn't like, hey, look at us, we're standing. I mean, they're just standing there. And all of a sudden, somebody looks up and says, these guys aren't standing. And I think they looked up because they knew these guys wouldn't stand. They knew the stand these guys had. And they said, we're not bowing. And you know the rest of the story. They took it before Nebuchadnezzar. They heated the furnace up hotter than it's ever been. They threw the men in. Man, and of course, the guys that threw them in, the big guards, died right there from heat stroke. The fire was so hot, they collapsed. And yet these three men tied together. Now, I mean, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. The bands were burnt off. They said, Nebuchadnezzar looked inside and said, hey, didn't we send one, two, three? But hey, I see four. Four. And he says, isn't that fourth one like the Son of God? I always say, praise God. I mean, all of a sudden he realized, hey, that's God in there. And they brought him out and they said, hey, guess what? I think we'll all start worshiping this God. Duh. Very good decision, by the way. They realized something. Man, I tell you what, I looked at that and I said, when we talk about standing fast, I believe this story fits perfect. I think they stood when others bowed. And I'm telling you something, when the Bible says stand fast in your liberty, this is what it means. We ought to stand firm in what we believe in the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ and the freedom from sin. And I don't care if everybody bows down to the world in this culture, we need to stand up. Why? Because that's what the Bible's talking about. We need to be loyal to this book, loyal to the house of God, loyal. It blows my mind, the loyalty that's out there to everything often except the truth, Jesus Christ and His Word. I am appalled at how people will just be, there's people loyal to their party. There's loyal Republicans, there's loyal Democrats, and it makes me mad, I'll be honest with you. There are some people more loyal to their political party than they are to Jesus Christ and the Word of God. They're more loyal to their club, to their group, than they are to the house of God. I'm telling you something, something's wrong with that. That's a sin before Almighty God to be more loyal that way. I'll never forget when I was a young man, I think it was in Guyana, Jim Jones. Took a whole group over there, gave them Kool-Aid. If you're old enough to remember that. I mean, this whole cultic group commits suicide. Now, I realize some of them were probably forced, but the fact of the matter is they went and they're there. And they said, today we'll go to, I guess, meet whatever God they thought they were going to meet. I imagine they're a little shocked today at who they met. But they all drank Kool-Aid and died. Mass suicide. And I'm thinking, they're loyal enough to go kill themselves. Yeah, we can't get people loyal to the house of God. Come and worship and praise God. Thank God for His sacrifice. It blows my mind. I'm telling you, what that stand fast is, it's being loyal to God. And it don't matter what the culture, what everybody else is doing. If everybody else is bowing down, we stand up and say, no, no. And by the way, they stood regardless of the consequences. You know what standing fast is? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Man, I saved you. I set you free. You're no longer in bondage to sin and the things of sin. Sin has no more control over you, the book of Romans says. You are now no longer condemned. You are justified, sanctified. You're free. Woo, that's a good thing. He says, now stand. Well, yeah, but if I do, people laugh at me and mock me. People say, it doesn't matter what the consequences are. Stand fast. When you really believe in something, you stand up for it. It don't matter what it is. If you perish, you perish. You stand. There's so many stories in history along that line. I think of the Alamo. Man, it always blows my mind when I read that. And I can't remember the number, 100 and something. You know, guys that knew, man, overwhelming odds. And they said, but hey, if we die, we die. I think of Esther. If I perish, I perish. Over and over. What were they saying? Hey, we've got something and we don't want to lose it. Hey, we got something. It's called salvation in Jesus Christ. All the blessings. Freedom from sin. I don't have to be in bondage to sin anymore. It doesn't have to control my life. Why? Because I'm saved. Remember what it was like before you got saved? You had no choice but to sin. You had no choice. It was your sin nature. You did wickedness. Even now that we're saved, we struggle with it. Amen. Yeah, we struggle with it. But the difference is it doesn't have to control me anymore. Because I've been set free by the power of Jesus Christ. I've been set free through His blood and His sacrifice. And all I have to do is stand up and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that direction. I refuse. Turn with me to 2 Peter, if you would, chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2. Great passage here. Describing false teachers. And if you'd read it, begin in verse 10 on down. But we're going to pick it up a little bit farther down in verse 19. It describes these teachers and what they do and what they're like. It comes down to verse 19. It says, while they promise them liberty. Man, I do. I get sick and tired of hearing these preachers and TV evangelists and all sorts of people promising freedom, financial freedom. You know, send me $100. I'll send you my sweaty handkerchief. Hey, I'll give it to you for 20 if you want it, okay? If you rub it on you, you'll be free. Yeah, you'll be free to go take a shower as fast as you can. You know, I'm blown. I really am. But people do it. While they promise them liberty, look at this. They themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of this world, now don't miss this. For after they have escaped the pollutions of this world, through the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Did you catch that? It says, after they've been set free, after they've been removed from the bondage, if a believer goes back into that sin, now listen to this, it says it's worse for them. If you go down to the next verse, it says this, for it would be better, for it had been better for them not to even have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment and go back. He says, listen, once you've been set free, don't go back into sin. It would be no different than those prisoners that were released from Colombia, those prisoners in 1945 that were released to get to the boat and say, can I go back? Everyone would look at them and said, no, you can't go back. You don't want to go back. That's bondage and beating and dehydration and malnutrition and death. Why would you go back? Well, because I'm comfortable there. You'd say, that's crazy. You're a lunatic. There's something mentally wrong. We're going to put you in a hospital. Why would you go back? We'd say, of course you don't go back. Well, then why would we as believers who have been set free from sin go back into sin? Why? Why would we go back into addictions? Why would we just openly say, I'm going to give my life to crush corruption and fleshly lust and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the things of this world? Why? It offers you nothing. Nothing but bondage and pain and malnutrition spiritually. It sucks everything out of you and puts you in bondage. Do you not get it yet? The only free people on the face of this earth are Christians. Oh, now preach, what are you saying? Oh, I didn't say physically free. The only free people that can enjoy life, spiritually, yes, even physically, but especially spiritually, is someone who possesses Jesus Christ. Because then they're free from the inside, which is a greater freedom. Listen, I'd rather be a slave. I'd rather be in bondage on the outside than to be a slave to sin on the inside. Because slave to sin on the inside does this. It condemns me to hell. But when I've been set free from the inside, and I've got the mind of Christ, and I start living for Christ, I don't care what's happening on the outside. It doesn't matter. I'm free. And I can live in freedom and I can enjoy my life no matter what comes my way. No, what physically, emotionally, it doesn't matter. See, some of you don't get it. You look at me going, you're weird. You're strange. Well, that's true, but hey, the principle's still true. I don't get it. I've talked to so many believers that are getting entangled again. What's wrong with getting entangled again? Let's look at that real quick. I want to finish up by talking about some of the pitfalls of liberty. The Bible says, as we just read, they are entangled again therein. Galatians 4:9 expands again. It says, but now after that ye have known God, or rather known of God, how turn ye again to weak and beggarly elements? What a question. Whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Paul asks the questions. Well, now that the price has been paid and you've accepted it and you're pursuing standing in liberty, why would you go back? Why would you go back in there? Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? I'll read for you 2 Timothy 2:4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Galatians 5:13 says the same thing. 1 Peter 2:16, Matthew 22:15. All these verses have the same concept. You are set free. Why would you be entangled or entwined once again? Why would you tie yourself up into bondage once you've been set free? This is the whole purpose. Every year when I think of July 4th and I think of our physical freedom, I just praise God for it. I'll be honest with you. I get excited that I live in America. Man, I could have been born in Cambodia. Are you aware of that? You could have been born in North Korea. You could have been born in Iran. See, we forget about that. God, Almighty God, allowed us to be born right here, and we ought to say, thank you, God. It's a wonderful, and I really do. I enjoy it. And of all the bad, and I'm not blind. I know what's taking place in America. I pay attention. I watch. But you know what? I'd still rather live here than anywhere else. Okay? And I'm aware of that. And I'm aware because God wants to bless us. We're just causing our own demise. Okay? There's no debate to me, but God wants to bless us. So I look at this. I say, man. But then I can't help but think of, I'll be honest with you, our spiritual freedom. I just can't help it. Anytime I think about freedom, because it's such a greater freedom to me. And I think about the pitfalls of this freedom, though. Here's the pitfall of freedom. Because you're free, that means you have the free choice to go back into sin. Yeah. Matter of fact, he said in Peter, says, use it not for a cloak of maliciousness. That's a cloak of evil. He says, use not your freedom or liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. When you look up and do a study on that, he said, listen, because you are free, and by the way, when you are free in Christ, God does not make you serve him. If you've accepted Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, and you know you're saved, that's a wonderful, blessed thing. But now people think, okay, now what God's going to do is he's just going to remove every bad thing out of my life. No, he is not. He's going to tell you to remove every bad thing out of your life. He says, you put off, you cast off, you put away. Go back and read it in Ephesians. It's very clear, Ephesians 4, 21 through 23. He didn't say he'd put it off. He said he'll forgive it. He says, but hey, I'll give you the power to put it off. All you got to do is get up and say, I'm done with this. I don't want this anymore. In other words, it's like the guy's being thrown in the furnace. I mean, they'll just break off. Those chains will break. If you just bring them to Jesus, they'll literally just fall off. It's that simple. Nothing can control you. Then why would we use our freedom as a cloak of maliciousness? In other words, we use our freedom to go ahead and sin, saying, hey, you can't tell me what to do. Preacher, I have freedom. You know what? You're exactly right. You have the freedom to do whatever you want. And God will not make you serve him. God will not make you do anything for him. But he will withhold his blessings. And if you choose to go back into bondage through his word and his preaching, and his counselors will do everything they can to pull you back. But if you want to go back and you want to be tied up and you want to live that way, he'll say, okay. Okay. If you want to get entangled back in that stuff again, go for it. And I read some stats. I didn't write them down. But I am blown at how many people go to prison and the rate of people that go back in. Blown. It's like over 70%. I mean, it just blew my mind. That 70% would want to go back. And what's amazing to me is we have all these programs to help them not go back. I tell you, we're missing the number one program. It's called salvation in Jesus Christ. Say, you can't reform somebody through programs, but you can reform them through, thus saith the word of God. Because the only person who can set you free is Jesus. Listen, there's some things that we get entangled in. I'm just going to list a couple real quick because they're specifically listed in Scripture. 2 Timothy 2:4 we read says this, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Now listen, we've been set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a brand new life. And one of the things that will mess you and I up is this. We get so caught up in the things of this world that we forget about the things of God. The Bible says in Colossians, set your affections on things above and not on things below. Set your affections on things above and not on things below. That doesn't mean don't live here. It means, but our affections, our desires should be set up on things above. You say, why? I'm telling you there because that's where freedom is at. That's where God grants the freedom that he has from the inside when we just live our life for Christ. Why would we get caught up in all the junk of this world? Hey, this world has nothing to offer you and me. Nothing. It wants to do nothing but kill, steal, and destroy us. So why would my whole life be about what I can get in this world and how I can live this world? It says no soldier in 2 Timothy 2:4 gets caught up. Brother John Boyd's back. Praise the Lord. Good to see you. But I tell you what, when he's over in Iraq, sure, you're thinking about, you know, the wife and the kids. But you know what? Thought in his mind is not probably, gee, I wonder if the lawn's mowed. What if the car got washed? Hey, what if the girls, hey, honey, did the girls take out the trash? You know what? Who cares? Duck, they're shooting at you. You see what I'm saying? A soldier doesn't get mixed up with the affairs of this life. They're not concerned about those type of things. Why? They can't be. Why? There's a greater problem sitting in front of them. Okay? They're not worried about, I missed my favorite TV show. Hey, honey, would you record that? Hey, what happened, by the way, last week? Last thought on their mind, man. They could care less about TV or anything like that. It's just not an issue. They don't care who wins the Super Bowl. They don't care who wins the NBA. They don't care. Why? There's bigger things in front of them right now. You know why Paul used that analogy? He's saying, hey, can I remind you, you're a soldier of the cross. And you got to live in this world. I know we got to take care of some of those things. He's not saying abandon those. But he's saying this. Don't make that a priority. Why? You and I both know you can get so caught up in the things of this world that God becomes distant. If you've lived long enough, you've experienced that. It's not that you don't love God, not that you're not saved, but all of a sudden you're more worried about your finances, your life. Next thing you know, church is kind of a second thought. You pop in once a week, once a month, if that. Then it's once every 6 months, once a year. And if someone asks you, man, you're saved, going to heaven, it's no big deal, but you're so caught up in the things of this world that God's distance. And guess what? You're starting to be entangled again with the affairs of this life. It doesn't stop there. He says specifically, don't get entangled again with sin. 2 Peter 2:20 says, why would you go back into bondage? Folks, I could spend all morning talking about this, and we're not going to list specific sins, but I'm going to tell you something. There is no sin worth living in. Did you hear me? There is no sin worth living in. The Bible says sin is fun for a season, but is it worth your life? I remember I just once again watched the news, and I don't even know them, and tell you, I know nothing about them. But the thought just hit me with this I don't even know who it is. Big case, Christie Brinkley and her husband. And like I said, I don't even know them, so I can't fall. But once again, after the hostage saying, they shoved to that. And I just thought about that, and I thought, here's this guy having an affair, paying thousands of dollars with this teenage girl, and it's on national news, and everybody's reading it, and everybody's watching it. A thought came to my mind. Gee, I wonder if he would say today, it was worth it. Can I help you with that? I can pretty much guarantee the words out of his mouth would be this. Not on your life. It's fun for a season. There's no debate or nobody would get involved in sin. But you know what? It's not worth your life being ruined. Go to James chapter 1. You remember that, guess what? Sin is conceived. And when it's all finished, it brings forth death. Death. Folks, there's no sin that you can say, hey, that's worth giving up my freedom in Christ and living for God. And I'm going to live in my sin here. And I'm going to live this life of immorality and whatever else, drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. Or just the me life. It doesn't really matter. But there's nothing that you're going to choose that is a sin that's worth it. That's worth it. Why would you get out of the things of God, the Word of God, the house of God? Hey, stand fast in your liberty. It's a blessing to be saved. It's a blessing to live the Christian life. Hey, I'm not missing anything. I have a great life. I don't miss anything. I often talk to the teenagers when I'm at camp. I'm blown. It's like, what are you missing? The world says in the book of Peter, they look at you and they say, why don't you run to the same excess of riot? They think you're strange because you don't party like they do. Can I help you? I don't want to. Earlier in the fireworks stand, saw a couple of guys come up. They were obviously drunk. The young people there, you can attest to that. I mean, you can see it in their eyes. And I just looked at that and I just kind of smiled because I'm thinking, you're an idiot. You're entertaining. You know, really, you're entertaining. But there wasn't one ounce that said, man, I wish I could be as dumb as that guy. I didn't pull John to the side and say, hey, guess what? Hey, let's go get something afterwards. Let's go get drunk and we'll walk around going, hey, man. I'm going, what is this? I'm sure one guy was on drugs. He was so high, he could have floated over the top of the tent. He was gone, man. He really was. And the good thing his wife was there. The only thing I think that kept him in line. But I'm listening to talk going, wow, you poor guy. And really, you know what came out of me? Pity. there was no longing to be like that. I was thinking, going, this is your life. Wow. You are in so much bondage. You're in so much control. And I thought, thank you, God, I'm free. Thank you, God, I'm free. There is no sin that John Waterloo has to stay in. At any point when I wake up and realize, I can stop and say, God, no, I'm bringing it back to you. It's covered under the blood. I don't want it anymore. Can I just challenge you as Christians? It's not worth it. The last one he warned us not to be entangled about is Matthew 22:15. Bible says that they came to him and tried to entangle him in his own words. They tried to entwine him. Can I just remind you? There will be attacks from men on your life. And they will do everything they can to persuade you that your way is not the right way. And I've got good news for you. It is the right way. Do not get entangled with what anybody else thinks or says. You just go right to the book. People say, preacher, how do you know? I mean, you're just so dogmatic. You're right. Yeah, you just think you're right. No, I don't. My secretary and my wife can list all the times I'm wrong if you'd like. Just give them a call. They'll email it to you. Okay, no. But I'll tell you one thing. Man, I'm one of those guys, I don't bet, but when I do bet, I'm always 100% right. Matter of fact, if you ever hear it out of my... Unless I'm kidding, because I'll do that all the time. But if I ever come to you and I say, I tell you what, Brother Silcox, I'll bet you $50, don't take it. Because if I bet you $50, it's because I know I'm going to win. Because it's not really a bet. I've already figured it out, or I watched the news way before you did. I never, ever bet somebody, and of course I never have, but even kidding. My wife, oh, come on, that didn't happen. Oh, yeah, I bet you. And she says, okay, the winner has to... Wait a second. You don't bet unless you're right. That's exactly right. Because I'm like, I don't want to throw my money away. That's kind of dumb. Can I just help you with this? There's a lot of things I'm wrong about. But there's one thing I'm dogmatic about. If it says it right here, not even a debate. Not even a debate to me. This is 100% true. I like that. So I don't care what men say. I don't care what philosophies they came up with and what they say about Christianity and religion. Doesn't bother me a bit. Why? Woo! I got the book. Well, listen, we do not have to be entangled at all by what men think or say in their philosophies. We got the book. Now listen, Galatians 5:1 ought to mean something to you. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I ask you here as we close, two things. If you're here today and your life isn't everything it ought to be, everything you want it to be, and you're here today and you've never experienced especially the wonderful freedom of Jesus Christ, the thing we call salvation, I want to challenge you today, and a day that we're celebrating our freedom in America, that you find a greater freedom. It's called spiritual freedom. That you find out today and can know for sure today that your sins can be forgiven permanently. And I mean permanently. As far as the east is from the west, everything you've ever done or thought about doing can be totally wiped out by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you'll come and you'll submit yourself and repent of your sins and ask Christ to save you, I'm telling you, we can guide you through the Word of God. And if the Holy Spirit's pounding in your heart saying, hey, I need to be set free of my sin, and you've never done that, I'm telling you, come down here. We will lead you to the Lord, and you can walk out of here a free man or woman. And the second thing, if you've already done that, you've accepted Jesus Christ, but you've been getting entangled once again with sin, and it's starting to wrap you up, and instead of living just a peaceful, joyful, free life, can I just challenge you as believers? Why go back? Hey, you're free, man. You're free. Get up and head for the gate. You're free. Why go back into bondage? Don't let anything keep you in bondage. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you for today, Lord. Thank you for your love, your provisions. Lord, we thank you for the freedom. Lord, it's good for us to stop, remember different times throughout the year, Lord, about different things. Lord, we'd be erring if we did not thank you for the freedom of this great land that we believe, Lord, that you were instrumental in setting up. Lord, without you, we would not be here. So, Lord, regardless of all the men involved and their sins and their problems, Lord, this was a providential thing, and we thank you for it. And you have a purpose for America, Lord, in your great plan, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be a part of that and to help complete it in our area and around the world. Lord, then secondly, I pray for those who are lost. those who have never experienced freedom in you, Lord. Those who still get up every day wondering if they're going to heaven, wondering about peace and joy and those things that only come through Christ. Lord, help them to come today, Lord, and find out what true freedom is all about. And then for believers, Lord, for believers who maybe unknowingly, Lord, have been playing with the things of this world, thinking that it would somehow give them more freedom. Lord, help them to wake up today and realize, Lord, the only freedom we have is freedom from sin and freedom in you. And Lord, may we remember what you've done, the great price that you paid, and never, ever forget it. May you work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponkin Theater Building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thank you again for listening.